Before we get to chapter 3 of Galatians, we have to read chapter 2. But I want to start in the middle of the chapter, and I don't know if I'll get beyond this verse. 2:16. This book, the book of Galatians, has one message, and I've been teaching it for a number of weeks now, and it has two ideas. One is the passive righteousness, passive, P-A-S-S-I-V-E, where you don't do anything. So you're made right with God. You're made whole with God. Whatever sin you have is no longer a matter between you. Whatever offense that was given to him by our rebellion and our wickedness and our shallowness and our vanity is no longer counted because of someone else, Jesus Christ, dying for us and then rising to live in us. And that passive righteousness is what this book is all about. In fact, it's what the whole Bible is about. That you're not righteous in any other way but this passive way where someone else paid the price, someone else did the work, someone else lived for you the life you were supposed to live, you ought to have lived. And that we would call active righteousness. So an active righteousness is where you actually are righteous. You actually please God because you were perfect. So actual righteousness is a work of man in the flesh. In other words, anybody can do it. But God doesn't accept this because it's not perfect. Whereas passive righteousness was done not by you, but by God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, you are accounted as righteous because of your faith. So because of faith then, not in myself. This would be self-reliance over here. This would be a kind of faith in me, in my ability to behave. But over here, this faith is the true faith. This is the only faith that God will accept. And that in the Greek, it's teis, T-E-I-S, and then it's pisteos. So that means the faith. There isn't any other. In other words, this faith over here in myself is actually no faith at all. To have faith in myself is not to have faith in anything, because I'm not smart enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not good enough to rely upon, because nothing that I do is worthy in God's sight, is perfect. Whereas this faith is in the blood that Jesus shed, which we just partook of, and also then the body that he gave up, our faith is totally in that. So this is the, and there is no other, faith. So it's a noun, faith, the faith. Now, this one over here is under a law. This one is under a law. So whatever I've done over here, I've done it not by faith in myself to keep it, but I've done it because I thought I was smart. I thought I was good. I thought I did the right thing to get right with God. Even though I sinned, I made up for it by doing some nice things or believing the right things or going to church or something. I somehow behaved, and this is called the law. So the law or the faith. So the works of the law that I do for God, rather than the works that he did for me. The works of the law, those works, ergon, and then the other word for that one, that's works. This word then is not just that I did some works, but I did them under the law, and that's nomu. That shows that it's in the genitive form, So ergon nomu versus tes pisteos. So the faith it has an adjectival, it has a verbal form, but this is the noun form, the faith. And I'm emphasizing that because you're going to see it in the scripture. So the two things that the whole book of Galatians is about, and if anybody gets a hold of this today, it'll be a miracle. If you can get a hold of this, it'll set you free. I've preached it for years, but I don't believe too many people have gotten a hold of it. God does not want you to work. God does not want you to labor. God does not want you to behave. God does not want you to be worried, afraid, nervous. God wants you to enter into his rest. He wants you to look at the promise on the right-hand side of the board rather than the law, the command, on the left side. What God demands of you on the left side, you can't do. It's impossible. No man has ever yet done a work, nobody, ever, that has pleased God. Never. Not even for a moment. No matter how it appears that some people do very well. It appears that other people are failures. So you can either be proud, which is a sin, or you could be depressed, which is a sin. So you have two options on the side of your righteousness, pride or depression. That's it. You can either be proud that you're better than others, or you can be depressed because you're not even as good as you thought you were. So that's a depressing kind of thought right there. So if you get a hold of this, it'll set you free forever. There is no other freedom than this truth that I've just told you, is that God only wants passive righteousness where you don't do a lick of work. You don't do anything to please God. You do nothing. You don't do anything. Now, I know you could please God if you were perfect, but you're not. There it is. There's the humility you have to have, is that it better be passive because I'm not able to do the will of God. I'm not able to please him, do his pleasure, because no matter what I do, it's imperfect. It's not perfect. It may be good to me, but and even to others, but it's not perfect to God because he wanted Jesus to do it for you and you just to take it as a free gift. He didn't want you to earn it. He didn't want you to merit it. He didn't want you to do something to please God. He doesn't want you to be a people pleaser or even a God pleaser. The only thing is just believe. Just believe. The faith. The faith, and there's no other. There can't be another faith like, well, I have a lot of faith in people. Nope. I have a lot of faith in the government. Nope. I mean, obviously, that one is really having a dickens of a time right now. We got all kinds of people running, and there's not one angel among them. All have sinned. Obvious. We're in trouble. We're getting the government we deserve this time. And the last time, and the time before that, and so on. So it's been a while since we've had people that are servants of the people. And if you don't do it exactly perfectly right, it's not acceptable. And if they take away even one of my liberties, or two of them, or 15 of them, that's not right. That's wrong. That's not what God wanted. I don't care what people want. That's not what God wanted. Because we don't want a king or a parliament or some kind of legislative body, or we don't want some kind of democracy or mob rule where, you know, a majority rule over the minority. No, we want every individual to be free under God by not doing a lick of work, doing nothing. Everything is a gift. Everything is a gift of God. All your rights don't come from your works. They don't come from your deserving it. They don't come from man. They don't come from legislatures. They don't come from government. They don't come from anything except God's hand. He just gives them for free. And all he wants is don't do anything. That's all he's ever asked is, please, don't help. Please, don't do your imperfect work and then think it's good. Don't be self-righteous. So the book of Galatians goes over this, and it's so hard to get a hold of, I don't know if anyone can get a hold of it. I don't know if anybody's ever gotten a hold of it. Because if so, you would be so radiant, you could hardly contain yourself. Because God is loving sinners. And you don't do anything to qualify. You just sin. And I believe some of you are prepaid. I believe some of you qualify right now as being a sinner, and some are open about it, others are hidden, you know, kind of secret. They do sins in secret. How many do sins in secret? No, don't raise your hand, but I'm just saying. A lot of you think, well, God didn't see it. You can see people may not see it, but God sees it. You may not even see it yourself. You're so good at being deceptive and tricky that you even don't know, I don't think I did that. But you did. You sinned against God. You hurt him by offering up your little offering, your little atonement, your little makeup deal that, oh yeah, I did a sin the other day, but I made up. I've 4 days I've prayed. For 6 days I've fasted or whatever. That doesn't please God. God hates that. And he hates that because he's after your happiness, which is relax. Just let God do everything. Now, most of you feel like God is good, and then you should copy him. You should be, you know, kind of like a little Christian in your own life. You can't. The only way you can be a Christian is to do what they did in Acts 16:20. The jailer rushed in, and Paul and Silas were in the jail. And he saw that, you know, an earthquake had taken place because they were just singing to God. And all of a sudden, an earthquake took place, and now his prisoners were all set free, and a whole bunch of them ran out. And Paul and Silas were still there, and he thought, wow, is anybody in there? Yeah, we are. Come on in. Are your chains still on? No, they fell off. Well, why didn't you run out? We didn't want to. We wanted to just praise God. But I'm glad you're here. Well, what must I do to be saved? Active. I want to be righteous like you guys. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That is a bad answer. Just believe? He was a bad guy. He was the jailer. He's a rough guy. He's a rough character. Burly. I'm sure he was a big burly guy. You have to be to run a jail. You have to be tough. You have to be strong. You can't be puny like Pastor Jim, you know, who doesn't eat enough and not strong enough and never did get there. I always wished I was bigger and stronger and better looking and so on, but it never happened. I mean, you can ask for something, and that doesn't mean you're going to get it. So I've never amounted to a hill of beans as far as being a great athlete. And I was pretty good at ping pong. And not bad at bowling. I like bowling. Huh? I was a gymnast. That's how I broke my head several times. I did a lot of stupid stuff. But you see, God loves me. You know what? He doesn't want me to do a thing. He just wants me to be a little child. Just poop and eat and sleep. That's it. That's all little kids do. Amen. Is McCray doing that still? Still doing it. Yes, see? He's still doing it. He's not even paying attention to me. Not even looking in this direction, listening to the preacher. And yet, God loves little children. Did you know that unless you become like a little child, you'll not enter the kingdom of God? He doesn't even know the word sin. He doesn't even know what it's like, you know, to obey or disobey. Those concepts are not even in his head. It's just poop, eat, and sleep. That's it. He's not doing anything to deserve anything. He's not going to get a wage. How many times does he go to work? No, he just hasn't even started. Unless you become like a little child. What must I do to be on the right side of God? How do I get righteousness? Do you want it passive or active? I don't know. What's the active kind? Well, will you behave? But it has to be perfect. And you can't make even one flaw, one mistake. Spirit, soul, body, the whole thing. Perfect. Oh, my gosh. That puts me out. That's there's no contest then. That just puts me out. I don't even have a chance. I'm not even going to get started on that. I'm disqualified from the get-go. There's no way I'm going to make it. If you have to be perfect, well, phooey, I'm not even going to start the race because I already know I can't win. I already know I'm not going to be like Jesus or something, turning the cheek and all that. I'm the one that's going to turn the cheek. I'm not going to do what people want me to do. I'm going to do what I want. How many are like me? Just a few. Quite a few. That's good. Should I wait a little longer? Okay. Everybody's like me. Sorry. Everybody's like me. No good. I've never been good, ever. ever. Not even before I met Jesus or anything. I just never was good. Never wanted to be and never was. And I never thought that was good. I never thought that. I always knew I was bad. I always broke the laws. I always disobeyed authority. I always, you know, did what you weren't supposed to do, thought what you weren't supposed to think, and feel what you weren't. You know, I wasn't what you ought to be, but I was what I was. I just was what I was. And things just are what they are. How many know that life just is what it is? You can't control people to make them behave. You can try, but it won't work because on the inside, they're still resisting. Even if on the outside, they do what you say. Oh, I knew how to do that too. I was a fake, but I always knew I was a fake. I always knew I am waiting for the moment you turn your head. Boom, I'm going to go do what I want to do always because then I'll be happy. When I get my way, I'll be happy. How many know that that doesn't work? Now, I learned that the hard way by getting my way. I never got caught for all the lies I made and all the things I stole and all the con artistry to people and so on and deceived them, tricked them and so on. I never found happiness that way. But I didn't care. I just kept going anyway. How many know you can have something that isn't working and you'll do it anyway? There's just something stubborn about people. And I was stubborn. You know, even though it hadn't worked yet, it will. And I'll make it work. I was determined to be emperor. We didn't even have the job yet, but I wanted that job. I did not want to be second. I didn't want to be, you know, standing like Chris Christie behind, you know, the winner. I didn't want to be like that. I didn't want to be like that. I wanted to be number one. Did anybody else have that arrogance and that pride and that, I want to be number one? It didn't work, but I gave it everything I had. I mean, to the hilt. I just did it without any kind of guilt. I had no guilt at all. I never had guilt, ever, 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 ever. I had pride. I was proud, even if I didn't win. I thought to myself, well, I didn't win, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to go back and try it again. And that's how I hit my head on the diving board several times, doing the back flip and hit my head and then thought, well, I don't want to. I think I'll get up again, otherwise I'll live in fear. And I hit my head again. Whoa, what is wrong with you? And so I don't do it anymore. So there's a lot of things you learn the hard way. That is the hard way. I mean, you know, a lot of athletes break their ankle or their elbow or their head. I mean, they break stuff. But you're an athlete. You're gonna get hurt. And the more you try, because you know you're awesome and you're great and, you know, you can do it. Because you have a lot of confidence in your intelligence and in your goodness. I'm good. And in your greatness, I'm glorious. Amen. I thought when Peggy married me, that was a real coup for her. She had a little different opinion. We didn't agree on that at all. She never saw how great it was just to be in my presence. She didn't see that. We created it the same way. So how many have that kind of pride that I had? I mean, that's not good. You still go to hell. How many have that kind of depression? I love people that are depressed. It's funny to me. When I see somebody depressed, I'm excited about that. It's like, you know, what you trying to do that you can't? Because when people are depressed, they're trying to do something that can't be done. I mean, they're a contradiction. They want to be good and evil at the same time. I mean, they'll say they want to be good, but they actually want to be evil. Because if they are good, they want a reward. That's contradictory. You can't do both. You can either be active or passive, but you cannot be both. Everybody wants to be in the middle. Well, I'm active somewhat. God did a work, and now I'm going to do the rest. I'm going to do the frosting on the cake. You can't. So, are you ready to read the Bible? Let's see what the 16th verse means, because I know you're going to forget this, even though I wrote it on the board. You can take a picture of it and keep it, photograph it, blow it up. But you know what? You're going to forget this right away because I know even if I preach so clearly today that you remember it for 3 minutes, you will immediately go back to trying to be good again. Now listen to this 16th verse. For we know, this is the Greek, we know, okay, oidetes, oidotes, okay? So Oidate is a word which means we have like intuitive knowledge, not experiential, but intuitive knowledge. We know. This is what we know. So intuitively you know this, not experientially. We just know that no man, there's not any man born of woman, there's not any man created by God, there's not any natural man that can be accounted as righteous under the law. Ergon, the kind of works we do, nomu. Ergon, nomu. Nobody under the works of the law can be accounted by God as righteous, the kaiosune, righteous. So the righteousness of God cannot be actively done by anybody. Faith is not a work. Faith is not a work. So when you have faith, you have to have faith over here on the right side of the board, passive, because it's not a work. If it's passive, you don't do it. It was done to you. It was done for you. It was done in you, but you didn't done it. You did not do that. He's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's passive. But you didn't done it. You didn't want it. You didn't even want to be good, so don't lie. That's where depression comes from. You don't lie to yourself. Well, I wanted to do good. I just didn't know how. I didn't know who my neighbor was, and so on and so forth. Those are cute little things. You can say them all day long, but they're not true. They're a lie to God. Forget people. They're a lie to God. You behave yourself. I know you can do it. Yeah, that's the little engine that could. That little engine can do it. And they lie to every little kid because they're trying to get them to behave themselves. I'm not against that as long as you don't think it is going to get some kind of reward. The nicer you are in this world, the more you're going to be hurt and disappointed. I tell you, when you try to help somebody, you're just going to be hurt because you're going to expect that you helped them because you helped them. But when you help somebody, it actually hurts them. I mean, the very people you're trying to help, you're going to hurt. That's amazing. The very people that you know, you think, I'm going to help them. They need help. Well, they do. But they don't need your help. Did you know that mankind has always had it in for God? They got rid of God sometime around the 16th century. They always get rid of God. But anyway, it showed up there. And they decided, why don't we just talk about not the goodness of God, but let's talk about the goodness of man. That's called humanism. And so in the 14th century, 15th century, man, in the medieval days, they didn't have anything you could do except paint either Jesus as a baby in Mary's lap or Jesus hanging on a cross. Those are the two things you did as an artist. You could either paint one or the other. But you never saw Jesus as the resurrected guy. You always saw him as a little baby in her arms, you know, a passive little dependent person. So he wasn't the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He didn't have those kind of things. Even though everybody knew he's going to be king someday, is a baby. They wanted to emphasize the incarnation, that yeah, he's just a little kid, came into the world like that, and so on. And then you could see Jesus on the cross being killed. That's it. So what are you going to paint today? I'm going to do the crucifixion. Yesterday I did the birth thing. I'm going to do the death thing now. So those are the only two things you could have. But in the modern world, men began to think in the latter part of the 13th century, 14th century, 15th century, and so on, they began to think man can actually do good things and we don't need to rely on God anymore. Let's not put him as the center of the universe. Let man be the center of the universe. Let him be the central to everything that we do. Let's forget God. He hadn't done that well anyway. So let's go back to man. Because the pagans used to believe that. And look how great was Rome and Greece and Babylon and Persia and so on, and this medieval stuff, let's get rid of God. So the whole modern world was built on get rid of God. And you know, that's an interesting idea, and I did it. I did it from the time I was, you know, conceived, I was always, you know, ducking whatever mom did to get rid of me and so on. And say, I came out. I wasn't supposed to. Grandmother said, you know, if this boy lives, if this child lives, it's going to ruin your career. You will not have a career. So you want to have a life or not? You want to be bound to this little guy? I mean, no, children are a blessing. But my grandmother thought, no, that'll interrupt her program for getting rid of her daughter so she could go out and work and make some money. And that, and my mom, you know, had to give all that up. So she tried very hard over time and time and time and time to get rid of me, and I'm still here. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? I was meant to be dead. I was meant to be killed, and yet I'm living. I think God likes me. I don't know why. It just occurs to me that God has pity on someone that's worthless. I mean, a reject, a complete reject. Get rid of that kid. He's no good. Just poor white Irish trash. I was glad I'm Irish. Irish trash. And that's what it is. We grew up in trash. So we just live that way. Praise God. But Peggy, ever since I met Peggy, things have improved a lot. We're now just poor white. Because Peggy's Scottish. And for that reason, we're saving everything. Because Scots, they're just stingy and save everything. So we don't, you know, I had always dreams of, you know, gambling and, you know, all that stuff. And trying to be rich overnight and so on and so forth. It all failed. So I'm a pastor now. And I'm doing very well. So keep those offerings coming in. I live off of them. Now, what happened to me is I got a hold of this message here about don't be good, which I never was, so I was ahead of the game. I never was good. But I got this idea that when I read the Bible itself, which nobody ever read anymore, but this was a church school, just like SMU or TCU. But in this church school, they actually taught the new idea that man can do things. Man can be helpful. Government can be beneficial. That is so such a lie. Cannot anybody see that? That the emperor has no clothes? That none of our candidates are any good? And there was one of the guys that looked pretty good. Ben Carson. I mean, he looked good. Well, how far did he get? He was bottom of the heap. He's just way at the bottom. That shows that good is no longer valued. Nobody believes in that kind of thing of tell the truth and be gracious and kind and so on and so forth. And where did he go? Nowhere. But the guys that are ruthless, that are ambitious and vicious, man, they go someplace. People are excited about that. I mean, that's kind of a picture of our world today, that we don't believe in the ideal anymore. We don't believe in noble things. We believe in just real, you know, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, win. I love it. That's me. That is exactly me. I laugh at every time I hear people talk, I laugh because it's exactly me. It's exactly how I was without Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you the truth. Performance must never precede relationship. Active righteousness. There's no such thing. Why? Because nobody can. Nobody! Nobody. Oh, you can lie. You can trick. You can deceive. I'm a con artist. I know how to do that. I can look like I'm something, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm nothing. I'm still exactly what I was when I was to be aborted. I still haven't amounted to a hill of beans. I still am not even a little hill of beans. I'm nothing. I mean, I can stand in a crowd and nobody, notices. I'm just standing there. Do y'all know who I am? I don't have any horn to toot. Don't you love it? Look how big we are. It's amazing how many thousands of people are trying to get in. Don't tell them about this place. Keep it a secret. You know, don't go out and tell them. So we're not even in the phone book. We don't even have a name. I'm doing everything wrong. But you know what I believe? I'm the happiest person on the face of the earth. Why? Because I believe righteousness is not a work you do. I believe it's a work God did for you by a promise. So I believe God promised. What must we do to be doing the will of God, the works of God? What must he do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. That's funny. That guy was immediately qualified because he was a sinner. Jesus said, don't think I came for the righteous. I came for sinners who repent. Means change their mind that it's not active that God wants, it's passive. That's the mind change. The mind change is I'm going to stop sinning, I'm going to start doing right. Oh, it's the opposite. Forget it. Because anything you do is sin because it's apart from faith. But anything by faith, that is the faith that we have, unlike Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and whoever else, Catholics and Jewish and most Protestants. Now, what God wants is for you to be happy right now without doing anything. And he only wants one thing for you, happy. Safe, secure, happy in this world as well as in the next. And so he's committed to that if you don't help him. If you help him, he'll just stand back until you're done. So if you're actively helping out, God will just wait. Because he only operates by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he won't operate by the flesh. So if you think he's going to help your flesh along or you're going to help his spirit along, oh, you're mistaken. He waits until you're exhausted, till you've run out of poop. Just poop out. Then he'll come to you and say, hey, can I help you? And you go, well, I'm not worth anything now. Now I'm a harlot. Now I'm no good. Now I'm washed up. I'm destroyed. That's the one he loves. You mean there's no hope? There's no hope in the flesh. There's no hope in man. Put your hope in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Why? Because he's going to win. And I know I'm going to win. Why? Because I'm worthy? Nah, because I'm worthless. He loves worthless people over here that don't do a lick of work. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, I'm lowly of heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, there's nothing to it. Jesus does it. Jesus carries all of our burdens. That's a good husband. If you could find a man like that, Danny, if you could find a man like that, that would be awesome to get a man who takes all the burdens for free. I mean, just voluntarily, wants to. That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. I think, Bill, you're doing it, aren't you? Taking all the burden?
No.
That's good. That's the kind God loves, right there. Completely worthless person. He told him to do it. You know, he told him, don't eat of that tree, eat of this tree. We ate of the wrong tree. I mean, everybody, Clay, everybody has eaten of the wrong tree. Everybody's trying to be great in their own eyes. They may lie about it. They may be pastors even. But it's not true. Nobody's any good in God's sight. Nobody, nobody. You're only good by being in a relationship that precedes the performance. First, the relationship, free gift. Because you can't give yourself new life. You can't give yourself anything. But the good news is righteousness, dikaiosune, justification, comes by doing nothing. And then it's kept by doing nothing. And then it's perfected by doing nothing. You have to do nothing. You have to be good for nothing. How many of you are good for nothing? All of you. You're good for nothing. Because God just says you're good, even though you're not, because you have faith in Jesus' blood that prevented you from ever dying. You cannot die once you have Jesus' blood covering you, because there's no sin. If there's no sin, then there's no death. And if there's no law, there's no sin. So he took away the law. So works under the law are replaced by Jesus' work under the gospel, which I have faith in. So I'm not relying upon my ability to be good. How many have tried to be good and you find it hard? And even if you were, in your eyes, good, nobody likes you. People don't like good people. They will. I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll abuse you. And they'll finally find your weak spot because you'll quit and then they'll hate you. When you're good to people, they go, They're going to attack you. So, you know what happened to Jesus when he was good? They killed him. That's how we treat good people. I mean, nobody said he was bad. They just made that stuff up about blaspheming and so on. They just made that up because he was saying, you know, he always did what the Father wanted and so on and so forth. So they killed him. Said, you know, we don't have any people like that. You're making us look bad. Just kill him. We kill what we don't understand. You got to think about that. You actually don't like things that are unknown. And if somebody says you're righteous in Jesus, that makes me mad. I wanted to have the pride of doing it. I did. I was the first one on my block that did what Jesus wanted. I was the first one to say a prayer this morning. Robert and I used to call each other in the morning about, you know, 8-ish. And I would say to Robert, Robert, I've been up since 3 o'clock. And he would say, I was up at 2. I was up at 2. And I could never beat him. I don't care what I said. And we had this competition. I kept trying. I didn't even sleep at all. No, I didn't either. This is now the third day. And he could not beat him. Because I had no holiness in me, but I was making it up. I was just trying to, you know, be holy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he'd say the same thing back, and then we'd get into it. And, I was a little bit more holy than you. I went to this church one time up in Kansas, and this church, all the women had bonnets, and they hung them on hooks on a certain side of the church. And all of them had the same dress, and they had the same lace collars. And all the men had black hats, and they were called the Brethren, the German Brethren. And they all had beards. If you were old enough to have a beard, you couldn't wear the hat if you didn't. I mean, you had to be, that showed you were a man. And they all hung up their hats on the same thing. So all the hats looked alike, and all the women's bonnets looked alike, and every dress looked alike. And everybody was equal. And I was there, and of course I couldn't partake because I wasn't wearing a hat and stuff. And so I was sitting in the back, and they were all praying, and they turned in their pews and were kneeling down in their pews so I could see them all. I could look at them. And I noticed there's like two rows up sitting in the back. There's no one back there but me. I could notice that this lady was putting lipstick on while she was there praying. She was putting lipstick on. And then I noticed another one, the boy and girl were holding hands. And I knew all this was wrong. I knew it was all evil. And then I noticed as we got up and, you know, the service was over and I'd seen all these kind of contradictions or inconsistencies. There's something wrong here. And because everybody's supposed to be equal. Nobody's supposed to be above anybody else. And everybody looked alike to me. And then I noticed one lady's collar was a little more crocheted more beautifully than another. And every one of the women knew it. They knew it. Gosh, she's got it way better. Hers is just a fraction different, you know. And it was awesome how they took pride in a humble fashion. Because they had to be humble. And they prided themselves on being absolutely pure, just exactly what Jesus wanted. Kind of the kingdom of God on the earth, loving and doctrine is perfect and so on and so forth. But I got to see right through it. I could see right through it. Thank God for the gift of criticism, of being able to be critical about those things. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is everybody's a phony. Everybody's fake. Everybody's not real. Even in this church. Everybody. But it's not active. He's not looking for anyone to behave. He doesn't care that you murdered. He doesn't care that you committed adultery. He doesn't care that you lied. He doesn't care that you cheated. All he wants you to do is just confess it. Yeah, I did. That's all. You just confess it and say, Jesus, I confess all that sin, and now I confess that you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you're my bridegroom, and I am totally dependent upon you. Go, Jesus. I'm not doing a thing. You do everything. You keep the promise that you made to Abraham, you keep that promise on my behalf. You provide the lamb. You provide the blood. You provide everything. You finish everything. You perfect everything. You do it all. And to God be the glory. I'll tell you, he never wanted you to be good in the first place. Now, I don't know if I've helped anybody so far just by talking about the fact that there's two ideas up here. One is, on the right side, passive righteousness. And that is where there's no ergon nomu. There's no works of the law done. Works of the flesh. Works of natural man being his best. So I take literally the Bible. This is what sets me off from some others. I take it literally when it says, only God is good and no one else is good but God. I take that literally. I don't think anybody else, including Christians, are any good. I don't believe they're good even after they're Christian, even after they're discipled, even after they're, you know, perfected by Jesus. I still don't think they're good without that relationship which precedes the performance. Now, once you have the relationship, the performance comes out. But because you're a Christian, you don't care. You're not looking at it. You're not counting all your fruit. How many votes did I get in Idaho? You know, you're not looking. You're not counting because you're not trying to win because you've already won. If you're on the right side up here, you're on the right side of God because you didn't do anything and he did everything and he promised something that you haven't yet seen, but you don't need to see it because faith is the victory that overcomes the world, not the fruit. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody else is looking at fruit. Hey, my faith is active in love. I was loving. No, no, no. That's pride. Now you're going to be depressed because you're going to hell. Because you had pride in that work that was you produced. Because you were not looking at Jesus who produced it. You were looking at yourself who produced it. Even though you said you were faith, you actually were looking for the love. Everybody was looking for the fruit of it to prove I am religious. I am spiritual. I am a wonderful person. So you became a Christian so you could be wonderful again. You could be almighty. You could be. How many know that Christians, after they become Christians, actually fall back into sin? Isn't that amazing? They actually sin more. That is, they see more. Because now the sin is not just committing adultery and murder and stealing and coveting and so on. Now the sin is not believing. And there are many Christians who fall back into the witchcraft of thinking, God started it, I'm going to finish it. And they're looking then for the fruit that proves it. Just like, you know, these candidates are doing. I did this and I did that and I was great and I was awesome. And they're just outdoing one another. The other guy is a devil and a scoundrel and worthless. I am awesome and great. Join my team, I'll be the awesomest and so on and so forth. It's so juvenile. It's so, you know, third grade. It's just, you know, it's just junior high popularity contest kind of thing. I got more votes than you. He'll never catch up to me. I'm a billion times better than he is. I love it. It's amusing to me. It's like entertainment because I just see myself, you know, right there. It's like, yes, my guy to win, your guy to lose. It's embarrassing. It's hard to be a pastor and watch that stuff. Because you lose your religion. You know that God hates religion? Because religion's over on the other side. That's what man does for God. But I like to say where God does for man. I think it's better for God to do it, the perfect one, than for me to do it, the imperfect one. Because at the end of the day, I don't finish the race. But over here, it's already finished because Jesus is already done. He's already died, so I don't have to die. He's already won, so I don't have to win. He's already giving out freebies, so I get all the freebies. How many know that as a Christian, every day is Christmas? Every day is Easter. Every day is awesome. There is no such thing as time. Every minute of every second of every day is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Woohoo! Amen. Would you like that, David?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank God I got David in here. Oh, I love it. Is the only one that's honest. He's telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want it all. I want Jesus plus. Everything that Jesus can give me, I'll take it. But that's what God wants. This is actually designed for wicked people like us, deceptive people, tricky people. It's actually designed for you. All you got to do is say, God, I'm not good. That's the only thing whoever wants to hear. Doesn't care about all that other stuff you've done and accomplished and how God has used you and so on and so forth. Doesn't want to hear that. Because the right hand is not supposed to know what the left hand is doing. So when you're a Christian, you don't get bragging rights. You know, now I know we're going to always boast on the Lord, but somehow we seem to also secretly want our name to be associated with it. I did it in all humility, and the Lord helped out too. I want to give him credit where credit is due and so on. But it's really, I am thinking only 100% of me, how great I am. I used to be awful, but now I'm awesome. I'm humble and I'm proud of that and so on. How many know you can't win? You can't win. How can you win? You can't lose because Jesus already did it. He doesn't want you to help out. All right. We know that the natural man, that man, is not, ooh, in Greek, not righteous by works, by doing the works of the law. We know that no man, there's not one man ever lived in the history of the world that is righteous by doing works in God's sight, but by faith. Now, I know it says the faith of, but that's because you don't know the Greek. You think Jesus had faith and now you have his faith. No, you don't. Jesus didn't have faith in the Father. Of course, he trusted in the Father, but it isn't his faith that he's giving to you like you now own it. You now have his faith. No, no, no. It's not a commodity that's given to you. It means that faith in him, which is not a work, that faith is not a work getting some kind of reward to it. That faith in Jesus is that I believe he will keep his promise as he has in the past. He's already given me the first fruits. He's already given me a down payment. I already see part of it now. We see in part, but someday we'll see it all. But that's yet coming. No one here, for example, has seen the Lord. Eye to eye. Nobody. Nobody has seen him yet. We haven't even gotten there yet. So that's one thing you can't say you see by faith. Well, I saw the Lord. No, you didn't. I mean, I have actually seen the Lord as I've had a vision of the Lord. I won't tell you what it was. It was awesome. But anyway, I've seen the Lord, but I'm not going to boast on that because all I need is his word. I just like to read the word and the fact that he acts and does things. I'm not going to brag and boast on that or talk about it. Why? Because then I'd have to take my eyes off of Jesus. I'm more marveling at what he's doing right now than what he just did or boast on that or something like that. I'm not against testimonies. I'm just against testimonies if it's you that you're testifying about instead of moaning. So God is a great and wondrous God. Here's the amazing thing. He loves you. He loves you so much he doesn't want you to work. He loves you so much that he's the only one that's free to do this to set you free. He gave you your first heart. He can give you a second one for free. He can give you a second soul for free. He can give you a second body, life, for free. Anytime. And he's starting it. You're not going to heaven. You're already there. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Two perfect tenses right there. Past, present. The perfect is never used in the Bible. Just a few dozen times. Well, there's two of them. Right there. The new's already come. It's perfect. The old is gone. That's perfect. Why? Because you didn't do it. God did it. You didn't help it. You didn't cooperate with it. You didn't participate somehow. Well, I had a little bit to do with it. No, you didn't. You actually resisted it. God had, in order to bless you, God had to actually let you kill him. You wanted to kill him. He's giving it to you. It's like they just grab it out of you. Give me that. And God had to fetch off, Jim, this is for your good. Just calm down, calm down, calm down. I just wanted to give you this. I mean, you know that people sometimes are so hungry and so lustful and ambitious that they want it now. Give it to me now. And God doesn't stop loving you because you're like that. I just wanted you to know that he has to push you off a little bit. Just become quiet, 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 quiet. Till he can then give you something. Because you're so eager to show off. How many have the gift of show off? You just have a gift. You do it in a humble way, but you have the show-off, Christian show-off gift. I want to be known as, you know, awesome and great. Well, God doesn't want that because all righteousness from God, there's only one kind of righteousness. It's all passive. It's all passive. It's all passive. Jesus did whatever was active, and you know what he said about it? He said, I didn't do it. The Father who dwells in me did the works. Even Jesus didn't take credit because he's Son of Man. But he's also Son of God. As Son of God, he could have taken credit because he's God. But as Son of Man, he didn't take credit for it. He said, the Father's greater than I as Son of Man. I'm his servant. And if you're mature in Christ, you're a servant of everybody freely, happily. And when people abuse you, you rejoice. Count it all joy when you face various trials, troubles, tribulations. Oh, I tell you, that is the most exciting thing. And you know, it's wonderful that people will abuse you. I mean, you don't have to look for them because they're just people that will abuse you. And that when they see you're happy, they hate you. They're jealous of you. They're envious of you. I hate you. What for? Because you're happy. You don't think that's funny? That is funny. Don't you see how wicked people are? I don't mean you. I'm talking about the Methodists. But I'm just saying, people are wicked. Now, can you rejoice at all times and in all places, wherever you are, no matter what? Well, he said it. Rejoice in the Lord always. He meant always in every place, at all times. Now, how could you do that? That's a perfect work. But if you're in relationship with him, then you can perform that. All you have to do is die. When you lose your life, you find it. As soon as you lose your life, you found it. What is your life? Being in love with him. You're caught up in him. You're beloved. His banner over me is love, and my banner then, I'm under his banner of love because we love because he first loved us. And so I'm just responding to that, and it's not a work. It's just a response to the work's been done. Faith can't be a work. Worship can't be a work. It's just thank you for doing it all, not most of it, and I'll finish it off, or I'll cooperate, or I'll have something to do with it. You can't even do one lick of work. If God even smells your fingerprint on the work, it's over. Cain brought a better sacrifice. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm sure he had pineapples and bananas and beautiful apples, and I'm sure he buffed them all up, and he brought it before God. And I'm sure he had a golden plate underneath it. Whereas Abel brought a lamb, and it was all bloody and hanging out all over the place and probably on a banana leaf or something. Here's mine. And Cain was so excited to see his brother's lousy looking offering, just a bloody mess. But you know, God accepted Abel's because Abel had total faith that God loved him because he was his son. He just felt like, I'm bringing this in faith to God. He said, bring the best of what you have, and the only thing I could find is, I keep sheep, so I'm just bringing one of my sheep. It was a cute little sheep, but I'm bringing this one for him. It's the best one I had. So he saw not the work, he saw the faith. He didn't see the work. He saw the faith because the blood covered him. And the blood was pleasing in God's sight that this man has no self-reliance. In fact, he's such a fool otherwise that he's going to trust his brother who's going to say, look, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I got over that right away. Let's just go out in the field and talk it over. And when they were out in the field, he killed him. He clubbed him down, just beat him. How many know that's a reward? And God said, that blood is still crying to me from the ground. And I'm not happy that Abel died. I want my son Jesus to die for the sins of mankind so that Cain can have hope in the blood of the Lamb. That's a powerful message. How many know Al-Qaeda doesn't deserve anything good because they're no good? All our politicians are telling how bad they are. The homosexual, blah, 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 whatever the bad guys are. How many know everybody's bad? Everybody. Nobody has any worth in the sight of God. You can't be better than somebody else. We put ranks on people because of the clothing they wear and the way they talk or the background they come from or what their accomplishments are. But God does not. He sees everybody as the same. Because he sees Jesus' blood covers and pays for everybody equally. Equal, equal, equal. You can't get that on earth. I know there are people on alive today that believe that, in fact, all the Democrats believe this, that the hope of mankind is that everybody would be equal. And they're trying very much so we'd all be equally poverty-stricken, all be equally sick, and all be equally, you know, without hope, and all equally ride bicycles, and nobody drive a car, and so on. I know that. I know that's happiness. Mao Tse-tung tried that, too. Everybody had to have a green shirt. Everybody had to have a little red book, and everybody was equal. So everybody, it was heaven on earth. You remember that? That was a little experiment that he tried to say, let's just do it over a couple, you know, billion people or something. Let's just try that out and see whether everybody would be happy. If everybody has a green shirt and one red book and just live in the same hovel, the same thing. Communists did this all over Russia. Every apartment you walk in any city, I don't care where you go, it looks exactly the same as the apartment in the next city and then the next one and so on and so forth. And everybody was gathered together out of their hovels and put into these nice apartments. Only on the outside, they look great. But on the inside, they're all identical. You can walk into the door and they always turn this way. And they're always the same size and they got the same sink and the same everything. And so they made a movie where this guy was married to one woman in a town, but he got drunk on too much vodka. And then he came home and he went to the wrong city and he just went there and thought this was his wife and this was his apartment because it looks exactly like his. That's a funny story. I think it's funny. But anyway, so you just see, here's the problem with Mao Tse-tung's idea and all those other idiots. The problem is that Mao Tse-tung wasn't planning on this. He came by and he saw that one guy had three shirts and the other were naked. So he had his own shirt plus two other guys' shirts and they were naked. He thought, I gave you each equal. Why did one have to steal from another? You all had a shirt. I know, but we were gambling and then this guy lost his shirt and then this guy lost his shirt. So I got them all and now they're my servants. You know, it didn't work. You know why? Because mankind is evil. There's only God is good. Only God is good. And any naive idea that you have of ever having peace on earth, goodwill to men, is completely an illusion. Unless God himself does it and you get a hold of it. That's why you're the light. That's why you're the salt. That's why you're the only hope of this world. How many know that this is the greatest state? Amen. The state under God. Amen? But I've noticed there's some flaws there. I've just noticed there's some flaws there. And it starts with me. I am flawed. I don't know if you all know that. I'm flawed. Peggy could say amen right now. Amen. That was way too quick. Hesitate. Wait on Jesus to say amen. See, just blurted it right out. Okay, it's your bread and butter, Peg. No, look. You don't have to do anything. Jesus has done it all. This is too good to be true. Do you know that we're not only not saved by works, you're not made righteous in God's sight by works, by anything you think or say or do or feel or want. You're saved totally by what God thinks and says and feels and wants for you. Everything he's done is for you. Nothing that he did was for himself. He's not happier because he did it. His happiness did all of that because he loves you unconditionally, no conditions. And he's never going to withdraw the offer. Never. Not until the whole thing is over. And it's not over yet. Because we haven't yet seen. And he's not going to come back unless there's a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. We're that bride, right? But you're not that bride by trying to be that bride and taking your eyes off of him and looking at your bride stuff. Looking at how much your branch is producing. Don't look at your marketing of Jesus. Look simply at him dying on the cross. Christ and him crucified, he forgave you, and the rest is all his work. That's how he started the new creation. That's how it'll end. To God be the glory. There's where the worship comes from. There's why you're happy, because there's no sin that you've ever done that will keep you out of heaven. There's no sin that you could yet do that will keep you out of heaven. Sin has nothing to do. The only sin now is unbelief. But it's always been the only sin. All other sins come from unbelief. No relationship, no reward. How do you get a reward? You don't. It's a gift. It's just a gift. You can't earn it. You can't get a wage. God will never pay a wage to anybody at any time for anything. So man is out, God is everything. I would get right with God. How do you do it? You don't. He comes to you. He's the husband. He's the man. He comes to you and says, I want you to marry me. I want to be married to you. Receive my offer. You don't have to take it. He's not going to force it. If you take it, you have the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. It's my testimony. It's my testimony. I was that scoundrel. I was that wicked person. I've never met anybody more wicked than myself. Never. I don't look wicked. Golly, I work hard at not looking wicked. I don't look deceptive. But Bill can tell you, don't. I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. Look, Peggy knows more than you know. And look how happy she is. Look how loving she is. Show everybody. You see, it's a joy. It's a joy, just like yours will be. It's just perfect. It's perfect. You see, God wants you to be happy all the time, every day, every minute of every second of every day. I am. I want you to be. Why? I can't make you be. I can just tell you that's what he wants. No work. Please, don't work. If you're lazy, be lazy. If you're wicked, be wicked. Whatever you are is what you are. You can't change it. Now, if God wants to, and he does, but if God wants to, he won't force it. But if he does, he'll offer you, let me do it. Forgive you first, then help you, then perfect you, then marry you, and then give you everything as an inheritance that can never be lost for all eternity. That's a gift. I tell you what, because of that joy, just listening to that joy thing that's ahead of us. We haven't seen it, all of that. That's ahead of us. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I'm not mad at anybody for doing whatever they do or don't do. Don't care what man does, because what God has done is everything. It's done. 2,000 years ago, for me, it's all over. It's all over. And I've been happy ever since the day I met him. I was wicked up until the day I met him. Now I'm absolutely righteous. It's amazing. How did that happen? I didn't do it. He did it. And I believed it. I didn't even make myself believe it. Belief is not a work. I didn't make myself believe it. I just listened to it and thought, that guy's weird. He loves sinners. I mean, it says so in the Bible, but I didn't think he liked them. I even knew they were bad. But he forgave me, and I accepted it. I've been happy ever since. I was immediately set free from any guilt. I never had any, but I was set free from being guilty, not feeling it, but I had it. I was guilty, but I was set free from it. And Peggy can do all she wants to do, and she has. She's tried really hard to make me feel bad, to control me, to dominate me, to emasculate me, to try to make me a decent husband. It has not worked, has it, Peg? No. Did you hear? Nope. And so it doesn't work because I'm still a jerk. I'm still completely an idiot without God. Unfortunately, though, God loves me. And he's perfecting me, even though Peggy can't always see it. So she has to have faith. And she has none. She says, I want to see it. I want to see it. I don't want that faith stuff. I want to see it. If God is really there, I should see it. I love that. I love that. Don't you love that? She doesn't want the faith thing. She wants the real thing. No. Faith is more real than the real. Yeah. Actually, even though I have done some wondrous things, she'd even say so, you're not satisfied because you're still looking for something you're not going to get. That's insanity. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. And therefore, you can talk right now and say, you know what? Anybody could do this. You know what? I'm perfect right now because Jesus said so. He said, the new has come. The old has passed away. And even though I haven't seen it, and even though history isn't over, and even though there's still time and I could lose the election, I don't care. I believe right now I'm perfect in God's sight. And that's all that matters. I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not witchcrafted. I'm not looking for anything. I don't need any evidence. I have read it in his word, and I'm certain that that word is true, and I believe it. Yeah. Done. Finished. Wow. That'd be powerful. Jackie, you could stand up and say, I'm the happiest woman on the face of the earth as far as I know. I hope there's somebody equally, but I am the happiest. Could you say that?
I am the happiest person. I'm truly, really.
Yeah. No, I believe you. I believe you. I'll give you the money later, but that was very good. that was very good. All right, who else? Who else is absolutely radiantly happy? Don't worry about the food. It's back there, I know. We're almost done. Go ahead. Nick.
Absolutely
happy. No matter what.
No matter what.
Unconditional. That's God. That's a gift of God. Who else? Parthenia. Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. You don't want anything to change so you'll be happy. No. You're praying for things because you want them, but you don't need them to be happy. You hope. You know why she hopes? I'm saying this. You know why she hopes? Because she wants the people around her to be happy as she is already. And that's the only thing that concerns. Is that I want everybody to be happy, but they don't want it. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to live the godly way. Because you'll be persecuted if you're godly. You know, okay. So we're offering something that nobody wants to buy. But I tell you what, I'm still going to offer it anyway because it's the best. It is the absolute best. All right, before we close, anybody else want to testify? Yes, Suzanne. I love it. Thank you. That's good. Anyone else? If anybody wants to boast on God? Who? Yes. Louise.
I had a scripture that I was going to share because we're in an election cycle, and I thought we could pray this as we decide on leaders. But I see these scriptures really pertain to this as well. This is in Isaiah, and it's the story between Shebna and Eliakim. God getting rid of Shebna and electing Eliakim. And I was thinking of it just politically that we should put the story before us when we think of who we're going to choose. But it's truly a story of this as well, because Shebna, the bad treasurer that God wanted out because of the breaches in Israel, he tried to hew himself out of the rock. He tried to hew himself a place, and hewing himself a place out of the rock is very much trying to find security in the law, and that's why God wanted him out. And the opposite of that, in the chariots of thy glory, talking about Shebna, shall be the shame of thy Lord's house, and I'll drive thee from thy station. And you mentioned state under God, and what God wanted was the servant Eliakim, which a servant is passive. And he's clothed from on high. And, of course, it's an allusion to Jesus in the millennium, but it's also who we should be looking for in our leaders, a servant who God clothes him with a robe, strengthens him with a girdle, and commits thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David while I lay upon his shoulder.
It's good. It's powerful.
Good.
That's a good one.
What,
Give the scripture again.
It's Isaiah 22.
Isaiah 20, verse 2.
Isaiah
22. Oh,
22. About Shebna and the servant who received the key of David to rule.
Good.
And became a peg.
Praise God. All right. We'll go back and eat.